Jerry. Hallelujah. All right. Let us agree in prayers. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we lend our spirits to the Spirit of a living God within us, that thou, through the vessel of our being, you pour forth your wisdom with mighty clarity. Father, we thank you for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of that Spirit that is so richly given to us in redemption. Our hearts are full of praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude. And Father, we thank you because we receive the burden of ignorance dematerialized to your glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As I prayed, I had a perception. Let us practice utterance for like 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, and then I will teach God's word. Is that okay? So, Feromi and IBK, come forward. Get them the mic here. So, one of you should do tongues, and then the other person should interpret.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Sobrenandas, Tobradish, Dobrenamandas, Sobradiga, Baradash, De Fredadiga, Baradi, Shando, Susto, Fredad. Amen.
Amen.
You know, as in our gathering, one of the things that should be highlighted in our hearts, or one of the things that should make our hearts beat whenever we gather, is edification. So, when I'm coming to church, preparing to come to church, I'm searching my heart. What is it for my sister? What is it for my brother? You know, there's no service that is just normal or just going to be like that. No, I will make service not to be normal for another. I will make service not to be the usual for another, because I will come with something. I will come with edification in mind. I will come thinking of my brother. I will come thinking of my sister. I will come, oh, searching my heart if there's something for another, for there is always something. There is always something. There's always comfort. There's always exhortation. There's always edification. There's always something. So come, come every time. Every time you have an opportunity to interact with another saint, especially in the local church, come with something. Make church happen for someone. Yeah, make church happen for someone.
Praise Hallelujah. Go again.
Sobrenando crashte frige baro dashte suva diga bano mando cristo red digo barade gostaga o susto frige baro dalo bando brendo gobo boro sto rediga bana brino bana galo digo brendo guido gara bale disto mando susto lengro do redo gabo rade galisto venande kakisto mando vidi garo susto rendo gabo boro didas.
For you see, you are the one God is relying on to bring answers to the heart of that brother or that sister. Yeah, pastor was doing his part in teaching. You know, God can use pastor. But you know, in using pastor or in using or in really ministering to another, God is relying on you. God is waiting on you. For that brother or that sister has come to church just, you know, seeking answers. Seeking an answer. But you know, God is waiting on you to meet that sister or that brother at the point of their need. God is waiting on you. Okay. Do you want to go again?
Suvadiga banande sto vedi shandos celebrena dino banamande calisto vediga babaro deliste o men don grum bandon do sum brandin don brangon brandel londo sto renade liba baruda gebrogo vedelisto rena manande garisto vendo grando gristo lindam brun den go shando gosto o man. Hallelujah.
You know, there are some of us that ought to talk to people more. I know we've heard that a lot, but we ought to. We ought to, because There are things that you perceive and you think is for, oh, somebody out there, but it's actually for the person sitting close to you. So talk to people more. Engage with them more. As you engage with them more, all those perceptions that you've been having will make more sense. Yeah, will make more sense. Because when you're talking to them, you know it's for you. I actually had this perception. I actually had this feeling. I actually had this knowing, you know, during the week. And now I realize that it's for you. So yeah, check up on people more. Randomly, just do check up on people more. For you know, all of those things that you've been perceiving will make sense as you talk to them. Praise God.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. For the Spirit says to go, and we must say the same as the Spirit and say to ourselves, I will go. I will go beyond the boundaries. I will go where it bids me to go. I will go and be a source of edification to another. I will go and bring comfort, instruction, edification to another. For in this day and in this hour, the Spirit of God counts on you and counts on me to speak forth His words. The Spirit of God counts on you and counts on me to speak forth His instruction. The Spirit of God counts on you and counts on me to be His mouthpiece, to bring His good news, His comfort, His instruction to another. And the Spirit bids us to go forth and walk in that which we know to walk in, to go forth and act on that which we know in our heart to act on. Oh, in this day and in this hour, we must not resist. In this day and in this hour, we must not quench the Spirit. Oh, you will say to yourself every day and every night, I will not quench the Spirit, but the Spirit of God will in me and through me have a free course of expression. His words will flow forth effortlessly through my lips. His thoughts and idea and wisdom will through my lips come to the ears of another. And that one will see light. He will see direction. He will see illumination. He will know what to do and how to go about it. Because I dared to give a free flow and expression to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you get him the mic? Glory to God.
So, you know, when we gather together around the word, around the preaching, the teaching of the word, we're also gathering around, there's a consciousness as it births in our hearts, you know, and our job is to take that consciousness, you know, there's a consciousness that it brings to us that we can take home. And then we can develop, you know, and then when we develop, we can bring back that consciousness, you know, and the spread of it will be larger. I'm saying this because of what they said, you know, it will be larger. The spread of it becomes larger, you know, so it's not, yes, we gather around the word is taught, is preached. But also with all of that, there's something about a consciousness. It's like you go home with a cup full of something, or you know, with a basin full of something. And then when you get home, you don't just leave it. You are to do something with it, or you are to make a preparation. So the essence is that you make a preparation and then you bring it back. And it's like a cycle.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you go on with a bottle. You go on with a bottle of water. And then you come back with a bucket of water. Glory to God. That makes sense, right? Makes a lot of sense. The things that we hear in church, every time we gather, the things that we hear and the things that we see ought to fill our hearts all week long. We ought to meditate on those things so that it is amplified in our hearts, and when we come back in our next meeting, we can minister that which is already amplified, or rather, we can minister of the overflow in our hearts to another. That makes a whole lot of sense. A whole lot of sense. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's say together, I will act on the word. I will act on the Spirit of God. I will act on the impressions. I will act on the knowings of God's Spirit within my heart. I will take what I learn in every meeting, amplify it, come back, and minister of the overflow to another. In our gatherings, I will be a blessing to others. In our meetings, I will be a blessing to others. In our gatherings, I will yield to the Spirit. In our gatherings, I will yield to the Spirit of God, and minister edification to others. The overflow of God's Spirit within me will be ministered through me every time we gather. I will take that which I learn, the example that I see. I will act on it in the church, outside the church. I will amplify it and use it to be a blessing to another. I am the postcode of God's Spirit. I am the postcode of God's glory. I am the postcode of God's power. And from now, I will act as such, even in greater measures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I am going to read starting from verse 10. It says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. It says, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. So this is Paul's prayer to the Thessalonians. It says, God himself will direct our ways unto you. He then goes on to say, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another, and towards all men, even as we do towards you. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love. So the end of Paul's prayer, or Paul's prayer for the church in Thessalonica, is that they will increase and abound one towards another, and what? And towards all men. One towards another, and towards all men, okay? Even as we do towards you. Last week, so we said, when Paul is praying, what is he praying? That the love of the church in Thessalonica will abound one towards another. And we have said again and again that what is increasing in reality is not the love in them, but the expression of the love. So our expression of love is what increases or reduces. The interesting thing is it actually reduces if we allow it to. So it's not like when the expression gets to a level, it stays there and there's already stop loss. It doesn't go lower than that. No. If you don't know what stop loss means, seek cash after service. Praise God. So the expression of love can increase or decrease depending on how we allow or disallow the understanding of God's word that we have to influence us. Are you with me? So it means if I am in church and we are being taught God's word, okay, and the example that I see is the expression or the acting on God's word, the chances are that my love will be on the increase. But let us say I'm in an environment where God's word is not what drives my action, then the expression of my love will dwindle. But what is our desire? Our desire is really that the expression of love will continue to increase. Are you following? So it says, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one towards another, and towards all men, even as we do towards you. Even as we do towards you. Jerry. So Paul has said, we love one another. He then goes on to say that, so what we examined last week is, even as we do towards you. So Paul says, when we pray. So think of it this way. If I pray for you, that your love towards others should increase and abound, how will you know how to act? Is what Paul is saying. So Paul will expect that. So hold your hand in chapter 3, verse 12. Before we even read something else, I hope you are aware that it is you that is reading Thessalonians, and of course, the church in Thessalonians. But what they are using as reference to what they are reading. So if I say anything now, if I say, praise the Lord, in your own heart, if you wanted to know where did that praise the Lord come from, you have Genesis to Revelation to check for where did praise the Lord come from. Or if I say glorify God, I say brethren, we ought to glorify God in our lives. You are wondering, that stuff that pastor is saying, where is it from? But these guys, when they read love one another, unlike us, they don't have Matthew to Revelation. What they have is Genesis to Malachi. So while they are listening, they also are wondering, where in Genesis to Malachi am I going to find loving one another and how to do it? Are you with me? So put that in mind. Because when Paul is praying for them to love one another, they are also considering, what does love translate to in this context? Of course, that's on the side that Paul has already taught them. Paul was among them. He taught them. He exemplified it before them. So it makes sense when Paul said, if you don't know how to do it, it is exactly how we did towards you. So Paul's prayer, so if you are a Thessalonian saint and you wanted to know, when is Paul's prayer answered? Paul will say, when you act to another the exact way we acted towards you. And that is a bold thing to say of Paul. Don't you think so? So if Paul is saying, walk in love the same way we have walked in love towards you, it means that Paul was so conscious of his steps that if you follow my steps, you will see no other thing but love. So he says, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men. One towards another, towards all men, even as we do towards you. So the love of the Thessalonians is supposed to be what the example that they have seen. So Paul has shown a good example, and they ought to exemplify or show that same example to their church or to one another. So look at what it says. So I said you should hold your hand there. And then in chapter 4, verse 9, look at what it says. Chapter 4, verse 9. It says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God. That is another interesting place to learn how to love one another. It says, ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So how do we love one another? How do we know how to love one another? We check what we have been taught of God. So what Paul is really saying is, in the sacrifice of Christ, God has expressed love. And if you follow that same expression, where you will end up at is loving another. So if you hold your hand in 1 Thessalonians and you go to 1 John, for example, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, and I'm going to read starting from verse 16. So in verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Okay? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So when we perceive, when we understand the love of God, what does it make us to do? It makes us, because in the love of God, we find out that he laid down his life for us. And the natural consequence of that understanding is that we lay down our lives for our brethren. So Paul, it is the same thing that Paul means when he says you are taught of God to love one another. Does that make sense? So the next question, so let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. So the question is, if I'm supposed to walk in love and my love is supposed to be because I've seen a good example, then why pray? Right? Why do I need to pray about that? We pray about that because we don't always do what we know to do. So we pray about that so that we can yield, or like Paseku will explain, we supply emotion to our understanding so that we can act. So prayer is for, I know what to do. Prayer is now, I will allow what I know to influence what I do. I know what I ought to do, but I won't always do it. But when I pray, what I know to do, I can give it allowance to influence me. Glory to God. So Paul is praying. In fact, maybe today we'll do chapter 4. Look at what Paul says in chapter 3, verse 12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one towards another, and towards all men, even as we do towards you. He says in verse 13, to the end that he may establish your heart unblameable. So what is the end of that prayer? That he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God. This is vital. So look at what it says again. It says, to the end that he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Permit me to move. Okay. All right. Let me read that again. So what is the end of Paul's prayer? Pay attention to the end. So the end is the target. The target of this prayer, that you walk in love towards one another, is to what end? To the end that he may establish your heart, that he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father, at the coming of Jesus Christ before his saints. Now, let's read the next verse, chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, furthermore, we are reading so that we can explain what it means by holiness. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have received of us how ye ought to walk. So it means the example that Paul is asking them to follow in chapter 3, verse 12, is what he's referring to here as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God. Are you with me? How you ought to walk and please God. So follow our example, chapter 3, verse 12, is what it describes here as we have shown you or you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God. Look at what it says. It says, so you will abound more and more. So chapter 4 verse 1 is the same way of saying chapter 3 verse 12, where he talked about your love abounding. So you abound more and more. Are you with me? Now let's go on. It says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So what is the will of God here? Your sanctification. Before sanctification here, what has he talked about? Holiness, unblameable in holiness before God. In chapter 4, verse 1, it calls that how you ought to walk. So chapter 4, verse 1 helps us see what he's talking about. How you ought to walk and please God. So when he talks about how you ought to walk and please God, then we bring together all that we have learned from Paul's writing. So where do we find our walk? Good question. We find our walk in his work. For example, let us go to Ephesians. Let us go to Ephesians. For example, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at what it says in verse 1. Paul was saying in Ephesians 4:1 that I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. So therefore, we have always said when you see therefore, you find out what therefore is there for. Therefore is as a result of all that I've said. Okay? As a result of all that I've said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So as a result of all that I've said, what has he said? For example, in Ephesians 2, he has said, we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. We are redeemed of God. He has bought us. He has brought us into the commonwealth of Israel and all that. He now says, as a result of that, walk worthy. So our walking is a result of his work, that which he has done. Our walking is a result of that which he has done. So in Thessalonians, when it says how we ought to walk and please God, it is God has done something. Okay? God has done something. Now I am acting. Okay? Based on what he has done in me. Simple. It is what I'm saying this evening is not different from all that I've been saying so far. It is God has done something. Philippians will say, he that began a good work in you. So God has begun a good work in us. We just ought to act or give that good work expression through us. So that's what he calls how you ought to walk. And he says, and please God. What does it mean to please God? Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Okay? Not because I desire the gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. He then calls it well-pleasing to God. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So when you read well-pleasing to God, so when Paul says how you ought to walk and please God, what is he describing? Well-pleasing to God here means something that the Philippian church gave Paul. So how would Paul describe that? Paul would say you have walked and pleased God. So how do we please God? It is in our walk one towards another. So we please God by walking in love or living a life of sacrifice one towards another. I'm back to Thessalonians. So look at what it says. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God. So when you are reading please God, what should be in your mind is my walk towards another, right? My walk towards another. It says you will abound more and more. So it means that they were doing it. Okay? But he wanted them to abound more and more. Interestingly, in this context, it is funny what Paul describes as abounding. Hopefully, we are able to examine it. It is very interesting what Paul describes as abounding in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at what it says when we read on. It says, for you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So what will sanctification be here? It is that God has begun a work in me. So sanctification is my work in his work. That is my response to that which God has done in me. This is vital. My response to that which God has done in me is what he calls sanctification here. So look at how he describes it. He will say that you abstain from fornication. What will abstinence from fornication here be? It will be that I love my brother so much that I don't want to cause him to sin. Are you following? Look at what it says in verse 4. It says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So, what is it describing? It is describing my conduct towards another. So, I possess my vessel in sanctification and honor because of you, my conduct towards you. So, by using fornication, it's really describing how I use my body. So, I use my body in a way that I use my body in a way that is honorable towards you. Does that make sense to you? I use my body in a way that is honorable towards you. That is, that which belongs to the Lord should not be used in a way that is not desirable by the Lord. That which belongs to the Lord should not be used in a way that is that God did not intend for it to be used. So he calls that possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor. So it means, look at what it says in verse 4 again, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So, look at what it says in verse 5. It says, not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So, how are the Gentiles walking? Their walk is not a walk that pleases the Lord, because they are using their body in the way that God did not intend. So what Paul is teaching, interestingly, you can say what Paul is teaching is fornication, but if you read in context, Paul is actually teaching love work. He's not really teaching fornication. He's just singling out fornication as an example to teach love work. Does that make sense to you? It's just the same way Paul would say in Ephesians, for example, I want to use a funny piece of scripture. Wives, submit to your husband. Husband, love your wife. And then people have turned that to marriage thing. So if you want a peaceful home, wife must submit, husband must love. So we now brought it forward. We say men like respect, women like love. You let me disrespect you let me disrespect you and let's see if you like that. No. When Paul is teaching, he has to use something as an example. Interestingly, the people that say that stuff, that Paul says wife should submit, husband should love, they've not read just a chapter before where Paul talked about submitting to yourselves, to one another in love. So submission is not a command to wife. It is actually, if you are a Christian, a believer, you would have read chapter 5 where he talked about we submit to one another in love. And somebody can argue and say he's talking to brother and sister. And what are you in when you are married? You are still brother and sister now. So you submit to one another. How can you say that women like love, men don't like love? You are kidding. So we are saying Paul wrote what he wrote because eventually he has to give an example. So when he says abstain from fornication, he's teaching about love. He's still teaching about love. He just has to use something as an example. So back to Thessalonians. So he says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So what will sanctification be? If we are not talking about fornication here, what will sanctification be? You walk in love as he has walked in love. Or you walk in love after the same example that you have seen. So, for example, we were reading last week. Paul said that we would have imparted even our very souls unto you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Even our very souls unto you. What would that be? It would be sanctification. So when we walk the way Paul walked, that sanctification, because we are acting the way he intended for us to act. So, in verse 6, he gives another example. He says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. So, you see that the teaching is about walking in love towards your brother. So he has moved on from fornication and he has said, don't defraud your brother in anything. He says, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. He now says in verse 7, for God has not called you unto uncleanness. When he says God has not called, so it means that God has done something in you, Okay? You are not supposed to act away from what he has done in you. So he calls that acting in uncleanness. So when a man acts away from the example of... Remember, Paul is teaching... We are the ones that are reading these things in chapters and verses. But even if you have followed so far, where did we start? We started from Paul's prayer that they should walk in love. And he said they will know when they are doing it well, when they do it according to the example that he has shown them. So if you are walking according to the example that Paul has shown you, Paul will say that is sanctification, that is pleasing God, that is holiness. When you act away from the example that you have seen in Paul, Paul will say that is what? Uncleanness. That is walking like the Gentile. That is walking in the lust of concupiscence. Glory to God. So he says, God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So what will holiness be here? Holiness will be, God has done something to me or in me. Now, what is my response? So if I respond in line with what he has done in me, we call that holiness. If I respond out of line to what he has done in me, we call that uncleanness. Does that make sense to you? So look at what it says in verse 8. It now says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his spirit. He now says in the next verse, he says, but as touching brotherly love. Okay? You need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Makes sense, right? So he's saying all that I've said is not like you people don't know it. You know it. Because one, you are already taught of God. Two, you have seen our example. You are not despising our example. You are taught of God to love one another. So that, look at what it says in verse 10. It says, and indeed, ye do it towards all the brethren. So you see, you do it, that is, you walk in love towards all the brethren. You walk in love towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. It now says, but we beseech you that you increase it more and more. So what Paul had called pleasing God, holiness, sanctification, what did he call it in verse 9 and 10? Brotherly love. Are you following? So Paul's holiness that we ought to walk in, Paul's sanctification, Paul's pleasing God, is all that he then describes eventually as what? As brotherly love. So he says, as touching brotherly love. Are you still with me or have I lost you? So Paul is teaching us how we are going to engage one another. So, for example, if I don't know brotherly love in terms of how to relate to someone else, Paul will say, in terms of physical relation, brotherly love will mean you will not use your body in a way that does not please God. Does that make sense? He will say, in money matters, cash and I, we do business. I will not act in a way that will be defrauding to cash. That will be brotherly love in that context. Because remember, these people are reading what? Genesis to Malachi. So whatever must be said to them can't be said in parables. It has to be said direct. So Paul says, when it comes to the use of your body, you will not fornicate. That's brotherly love. When it comes to business, you will not dupe cash. Hallelujah. You will not defraud cash. Are you with me? So Paul says, where are we? So you You don't go and defraud your brother in any matter. Verse 6. So verse 8, he then calls all that brotherly love. Oh, sorry, verse 9. Touching brotherly love, you don't need that I write unto you. He says, indeed, verse 10, you do it towards all men, or towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. He now says, we beseech you. So whatever you are doing, we beseech you that you increase it more and more. How will they increase it more and more? They look at this example. So I do business with cash. Okay? I don't defraud cash. Paul will say, thumbs up. So if Paul says, increase it more and more, where do I find out to increase it? I look at his example and see the ones that I'm not acting on. Are you with me? I see the one that I'm not acting on, and then I act on it. Look at what he now says. So, mind you, he has also, before saying that you should increase it, already let us know that we are taught of God to love one another. Right? Verse 9. It says, you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So now we have our example in the sacrifice of Christ. We also have our example in the example of Paul. So we know how to act. So I know whether I'm acting in love or out of love because I have multiplied example. It says in verse 10, and indeed you do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, okay? We beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. That you increase more and more. So what does it mean when it says increase more and more? It means that there is a measure to which you're already doing this thing. But we want you to expand the measure. There is a limit to your measure. Now, we want you to break over the limits. That's that word, increase more and more. So it means to exceed and go beyond. And when you exceed and you go beyond, it is not something new, it is still love. It is still love. So increase more and more will mean exceed and go beyond what you have been doing and still know that the new ground, the new territory that you covered is still in the love of God. Look at what he now says in verse 11. He says, and study to be quiet. And so Paul is now describing, you have walked in love. You have been good to the brethren in Macedonia. Now he's saying, increase more and more. Now he's describing, when I say increase, what do I mean? Look at what he says. He says, study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you. So it means when it comes to defrauding, you won't find these people there. When it comes to giving, you'll find them. But Paul says, out in this scenario, so Paul is now saying, as touching working with your hands, what does the love of God dictate? Because remember, if you are in John 3, 1 John 3, verse 16, John would have already said, God gave his life for us, so we also ought to give our lives for our brethren. In the next verse, he will now say, if anyone has this world's good, so me, I have 10 naira. Cash has 2 million. John will say, if you have this world's good, and you see your brother have need. So I have 10 naira, but food is now 1,000 naira. John will say, if cash is watching me, let me not use myself. Let me use Brother Andrew. So cash is watching Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew has, okay, let me spare cash. There's Brother Andrew and Bartholomew. Andrew has 1 million. Bartholomew has 10 naira. Now, food is now 1K, and Andrew is watching Bartholomew go in hunger. John will say, how dwelleth the love of God in that guy? Funny enough, he's He's not saying the guy doesn't have love. He's just wondering to what extent is that love finding expression in that guy? How dwelleth the love of God in him? That's, if you come to Paul's class, so those, let's imagine that Andrew and Bartholomew are now in John's class. So Bartholomew will expect, which he really shouldn't, because that's what Paul is treating. Bartholomew will expect that, as long as my plug, I have a plug in Andrew, Andrew will always bankroll me. Paul will say, so this will now be directed. So the question is now, as touching working with our hands, what is brotherly love? That's what Paul is treating here. Look at what he says. He says, study to be quiet and do your own business. I mean, work with your hands as I've commanded you. Okay, to what end? That you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. So, because Bartholomew knows that Andrew will bankroll him, Bartholomew stops working. You know what Paul will say? Paul will say, in that scenario, it is no longer love when Andrew keeps bankrolling Bartholomew. Say, hey, yes. Because Bartholomew can work with his hands. He has decided, chosen, not to work with his hands. So it is no longer love for Andrew to support Bartholomew. So Paul is teaching what is love in all this. So it will make sense now when Paul said, we worked with our hands when we were among you. Go back to chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at what it says in verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 2:9. It says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, because we will not be chargeable to any one of you. Okay? Because we will not be chargeable to any one of you, we preached unto you the gospel. Remember, in Philippians that we read, Paul was talking to the church in Philippi. He said, when I was in Thessalonica, right, you sent once and again to my necessity. So, a church outside where Paul was sent to him. They did not send to him exactly or below what he needed. They sent to him so that Paul said, I was full and I abound. But in the midst of being full and abounding, guess what? In that same Thessalonica, that did not stop Paul from working. Why? Because he wanted to show an example to the saints in Thessalonians. So that they won't say, Shebi brother, Paul did not work, but he's living large. We don't even know what he's doing, but he's living large. Paul said, because of that, I worked. Even though without working, Paul had more than enough. So that's why Paul will say, follow my example. Follow my example of love. Because in my love walk towards you, even though I had more than enough, I walked. Glory to God. So really, what Paul is teaching is, what is love in all these scenarios? What is love in the use of my body? What is love when I do business with another? What is love as touching, working with my hands? And all of this is a result of Paul's prayer. So let's go back to that prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Really, I actually went all that length to explain holiness and to show you what Paul means when he says you should follow us. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 12. So when Paul says, and the Lord will make you to increase and abound in love one towards another. If we were to take that prayer and interpret it in context, what would it be? I'm praying that some of you will start working. because that is love work also. So it says, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. Are you following? You love one another, you love all men, even as we walk in love towards you. Glory to God. So, when Paul is praying this prayer, so let me now bring it home. When we are praying this prayer, what are we praying? We are praying knowing that there are things in God's word that we must act on. So when I pray this prayer, for example, okay, when I'm praying this prayer, what is in my mind? I must possess my vessel in sanctification and honor. Do you understand? When I'm praying this prayer, what is in my mind? In my mind, I know that I must act in a way that will not be defrauding towards another. When I'm praying for all that we read in chapter 2, I know that I will act gently and kind towards you. Because just like every other prayer that we pray in scriptures, those prayers are not answered in isolation. It is always either towards me listening, hearing God's word, or acting on God's word. So the answer to my prayers is never outside of what God's word does to me. So it means the practice of Pauline prayers will actually make me a student of his epistles. The practice of Pauline prayers, that when I'm praying the prayer of Paul again and again and again and again, it will make me a student of his writing, a student of the word of God. Because it is in that I see how to act. And then in prayers, I am energized to act the way I ought to act. Are you with me? Let's examine Paul's prayer in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of his calling. Now, this needs explanation. Jerry is already smiling because he knows I'm going to say that. When he says, count you worthy of his calling, it doesn't mean that now that you are already saved, that God will count you worthy to make heaven. No. Count you worthy of his calling must be read in context. It says, count you worthy of his calling, and which is kai, which is I mean to say. Okay? I mean to say, it will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. So what does it mean to be counted worthy of his calling? That is, God will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. What does it mean to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness? It says the work of faith with power. What is the work of faith with power? Hold your hand there. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And then I'm going to read. Wow, time is fast spent. Ha. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, it's because of the mini Holy Ghost meeting that we did. We should do Holy Ghost meeting on Sunday. You and your people, organize it for us. You and the Brotolus of this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I mean to say your labor of love. So what is the work of faith? So when faith is in action, that's what he's describing really. When faith is in action, what do we see? Love. So your work of faith is your labor of love. That is, the action of your faith is seen in your love towards the brethren. And he also says your patience, the patience of your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience means to continue, to endure, continuance. Okay, so let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. So it says, wherefore also we pray always for you that God will count you worthy of this calling. I mean, he will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, which is the work of faith. So if you substitute, it is love. With power means visibly. So your love work will be seen. That's the work of faith with power. Work of faith with power means is the same as God will fulfill all the good pleasure of his will, which is the same as God will count you worthy of his calling. That is, your love work will be expressed. Nothing will hinder it. And then you are wondering, is this love matter, is it that important that Paul just prays it everywhere? Even if we did not think it was important, if Paul is praying it everywhere, we ought to pray it every time. We ought to pray it every time. That my love will abound. Our love towards one another will abound. I pray it for you. You pray it for me. I pray it for all of us. You pray it for all of us. When we are gathered, we pray it for all of us. The reason is because when we hear it again and again, because that prayer is not in isolation, it will help us to be conscious of how we act one towards another. So you won't pray, for example, when we are gathered, that I pray that our love will abound one towards another. And then after service, you walk up and go and slap someone in church. Because you are conscious of what you have prayed about. So Paul saturates all his letters in all the churches with prayer for love. That your love will express. It will be expressed more and more, more and more, more and more. It will abound. It will overflow. It will go beyond what it has always been. So if your own level of love is that when you are angry, you slap someone, Paul will pray that it will go beyond that. That whatever you are doing, your love will increase. It will abound. It will keep abounding. It will keep going over the limitations that you set for it. Because when our love abounds, how Paul describes that is that Christ is expressed in our midst. So, when we pray that we want to see Jesus, we want to see Jesus. Paul is saying Jesus is seen when you walk in love towards another. So, how do we have a church where God is at home, where God is Father? It is the church where we walk in love one towards another. Because in IBK's conduct, even though I've not seen God before, I can say, even if God were to come down, he can't do better than this. That's how we ought to be. You know, you should walk in love so much that when somebody gets home, you wonder, you know, there are people like that. I'm like, even if Jesus were to be here physically, he can't do more than this. Honestly. We should be like that. That Sister Funke should so walk in love that when I get home, I'm like, that's Jesus in action. That can only be God. Do you understand? We should walk in love towards one another that when we are all on our own, say, that stuff that person did, a human being in his own strength could not have done that. That can only be God. Then Jesus and Paul and the rest of them will say, God is glorified. You just sang praise and worship, even though you didn't sing. God is glorified because somebody glorified God in your action. In fact, go to that same 2 Thessalonians, one more scripture. That same, walk in love towards me. In verse 12 of that 2 Thessalonians 1, it says that what? Let's read together, 1-2, go. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. So how is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ glorified? When the work of faith is with power. Or when you are counted worthy of his calling. Or when God fulfills in you the good pleasure of his goodness. Does that make sense to you? Glory to God. Sister Wumi, make sense? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think it's a good place to stop because I love you. If you love me, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we are grateful because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. We give you praise and glory, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen.